happiness can be synthesized. Human beings have something that we might think of as a psychological immune system that help them change their views of the world so that they can feel better about the worlds in which they find themselves.
Well, I don't know. When I hear other people talking about how to make me happy, oftentimes it doesn't work. It's very confusing to hear the Little House on the Prairie theme song with some random YouTube guy, isn't it? But what is happiness? When you think about the pursuit of happiness, pursuit of joy, it's really joy, not happiness. We're going to be happy for a moment, but joy is lasting. So we had our kind of our goodbye dinner with Raymond and his family last night. You know, happiness, joy, all of this, it's something that we try to pursue and really enjoy. And the hard thing about it is life is busy, life is frantic, life is gets ahead of us, and we kind of lose sight about what's most important. So we get wrapped around the axle about silly things. It's just human nature. And it could be disputes at work. It might be something someone says to one of your kids. It might be, a little stupid fight in some relationship, and it gets you off your game. So what's fun is to see what other people, people I respect, people have achieved something in their professional life, especially people with varied experiences. A lot of people go on television and you say, well, what did you do before this? Nothing. What? You did nothing? Nothing. I didn't do anything before this. What do you mean you didn't do anything? Well, I'm a television person. No. You want people to have a different experience. And Melissa Francis, I know so many of you watch Melissa on Fox Business. Fantastic. She's a great thinker on business and Wall Street and what the market's doing and how this all affects our daily lives. Just practical advice on how it affects our daily life. She now has a new book out called Lessons from the Prairie, hence the music from Little House on the Prairie, because she was actually on Little House on the Prairie just a few years ago. Melissa Francis joins us now. Surprising secrets to happiness, success, and sometimes just survival that she learned on America's Favorite Show, and she joins us now. Melissa, how are you? Good to talk to you.
It is so great to talk to you, and I love what you were saying there. So you're saying happiness, I agree, it's like a big ask. It can be kind of fading. One thing that I was always looking for was peace, to find that sense of like contentment, to not feel stressed or anxious. But then in even more plain language today, one of the chapters is try not to be a lunatic if at all possible. You'll just drive yourself crazy. That seems more Laura speak to me. That's very plain right there, right?
Mm-hmm. You know, and another thing that
try not to be a lunatic.
Right. And I know I see another thing that you say in the book, which something I feel a lot as a single parent, guilt, that you feel guilty a lot, especially working mom, single working mom. It's, you know, you're always, everyone's juggling everything. So I'm not trying to make myself out to be anything great, but you are just, it's just a constant juggling game. You look like you get the saucer spinning, you got the teacup, and then you're on one leg, and then you're on a table, and then a chair. It's not easy, but you feel like the kids need you, your work needs you. Kids always have to come first, but sometimes they can't. That is the difficult thing to have to admit.
We had a conversation on guilt. So I'm sitting at a choral concert for my 7-year-old, waiting for him to come on stage. I'm sitting with a bunch of moms. Of course I'm doing email on my phone because I feel guilty that I left work early to do this thing that's very special that I should obviously be at, but I'm trying to use every minute. I said to somebody else who was pregnant with their first child, you know, the thing that you get as a parent, no matter where you are, is you just get ready to feel guilty all the time. If you're at work, you feel guilty that you're not with your child. If you're with your child, you feel guilty that you've left stuff at work. And the woman next to me said, I don't work, and I feel guilty that I wasted my education, and I'm not out there working. The woman next to her said, I feel guilty that my husband has all the pressure to make all the money because I'm the stay-at-home mom. And I was like, I'm going to pass the drink. Oh, no, we're insured. We can't have that. But we looked around, and I'm like, there is really – I mean, people, when I say this, I brought people to tears with this idea that you just feel guilty all the time. I think it's a negative externality in part to the lean in culture, where they're saying, if you just press yourself a little bit harder, you can do more. And I don't say lean in. I say sit down and take a load off, maybe have a glass of wine. Like, we need to give ourselves a break at some point, and please give the other women around you a break, because immediately, as soon as you say something like that, the knives are out on Twitter and everywhere else saying, well, she's a fine one to say that, because that's what we say about the person talking. She's a fine one to say that. And we're just kind of all at this catty, crazy level, and men and women, I don't mean catty to imply women, but everybody, and we feel guilty.
Are men really catty, Melissa? Are you really that politically correct? Men are catty? I don't think so.
I know some catty men.
Oh, well, I take that back. I know
and
a few.
And I love them. I love them. I want them to stop by my office and gossip with me. I celebrate the catty men. But I would say my husband feels guilty, as guilty as I do, if he misses anything with the kids. I know when he leaves early, I can see the stress across his brow of the meeting that he ducked out of or whatever it was. We're all pushing ourselves so hard. And I think, you know, that if I see Superwoman, I'm going to strangle her. I'm going to take her cape off and just strangle her, because she's not real. She's a faker.
No, she's not. I laugh about, Melissa? I just laugh all the time because in school, for instance, there are some mothers who are just so amazing. I mean, I'm in awe of them. They'll make the perfect, you know, birthday cupcakes to bring in. They're not store-bought like sometimes mine are all the time. You know, the costumes for the special Saints Day, because our kids go to Catholic school, Saints Day, they're perfect. How much time did they spend on these? You know, I get something off of Amazon. I just, that's all I can do. But some of them.
Yeah.
And I'm just in amazement. And I was like, can you adopt me? Because I'd actually like to be in your family. These people are incredible. But it's just, everything's different. Everyone's different. Not everyone can bring the same experience to parenthood or a job, and you just have to, I mean, I really am at the point where you just have to do the best you can, and you know, it's not.
I say that,
you know,
so many times a day. I am doing the best I can, and I would say this about the woman that you see at drop off, because I wrote about her in my book with the hand pressed carrot juice and the sushi that she made at home and the gluten free, sugar free cookies that she made as well. There's something going on with her, and she's miserable too. She's upset about something as well and feels less than. And if we were all just honest with each other,
that's funny.
Let's just be honest. I say, show them your cellulite. I love to show people my weaknesses. For example, my feet are hideous. I mean, they would frighten children
like feet.
Running away screaming. Well, okay, so mine are especially bad though. And I think, show everyone your cellulite. Let's be honest with each other. We could be a lot nicer, a lot more relaxed. Because the woman that has the perfect costumes is thinking that you're so thin and fabulous, she wishes she looked like you. It's always something. You know, I go to drop off at school, and I'm in, my hair's wet, and, you know, I'm in my, you know, whatever schleppy clothes, and I drop the kids off. When I come back at the end of the day, I'm all foxified. So there was this one day that I brought the kids up, you know, we go to the Catholic school too, and you have to go to the office and get the note if you're late. And I was late because I forgot one of my kids or whatever, something. And I go up to the front desk and I say, you know, Mrs. Rodriguez, I'm so sorry that we're late. And she looked at me and she goes, and you are their aunt? And I'm like, no, Mrs. Rodriguez, it's me, Melissa. And she goes, oh, like I was so hideous without makeup that you couldn't even recognize me. And I love that moment, because then for every mom who sees me on a field trip and says, how do you keep your hair so defrizzed? I say, I don't. Teresa at Fox.
Oh, I love Teresa. You have Teresa? Oh, you're lucky. They never give me
lucky.
Teresa.
I know.
Oh, no.
Wow.
You got
you know.
Well, the anchors get the special.
You got to really work on that.
Yeah.
Yeah,
the anchors get all this. Oh, I have to ask you a couple of questions. Number one, number one, two, three. Little House on the Prairie I know everyone says this, but was one of my favorite shows growing up. My kids watch it because it's one of the few shows that you get on, you know, your DVR, and that's wholesome and so forth. And I always wanted a dad like Michael Landon. You know, didn't grow up and Leave It to Beaver at my house, and they did the best they could. But Michael Landon just came across as the most incredible person, you know, role model. He had a very different life, you know, personally than he did on the show. But what was it like working with him as a little kid?
So it's so much of this is about some amazing things that I learned working with him on the set. And I would say the first time I met him, when I walked into the audition, I didn't know who he was because my parents didn't let me stay up past 8. So I had never even seen Little House on the Prairie. And I didn't know why they talked the way they did. Why am I saying Ma and Pa and Reckon? This doesn't make any sense. But I went in, I did the audition, and there's this man standing there who is like God and Santa Claus rolled in one. Like, he just had such magnetism and such charisma, like what you saw on TV, but even bigger in person, if that's possible. And what was amazing about him was that he was one of the first small business owner, entrepreneur guys in Hollywood. He realized to make a mint in television, you had to own the product. We all know that now in TV, but back then nobody did. So he created the show, he wrote it, he directed it, he produced it, he starred it. He was the first one there in the morning. He was the last one to leave at the end of the day. He worked so hard. He was cheap as hell. His dressing room was tiny, and he was leading by example. As a result, everyone had tiny dressing rooms because he was the big star. But what he did was he inspired people to work really hard because he was right there with his sleeves rolled up doing it. We felt really proud of what we were doing. We felt really good about it. And we learned the pride in an honest day's work, the pride in a paycheck, working together as a team, working hard. You know, the kids were expected to show up lines blurred, face scrubbed, well-rested, because when the camera rolled, that cost money. It was an incredible training ground. I did more than 100 commercials. I did so many shows before and after this, movies too. This was unique. It was different. At 8 years old, even I could tell that by comparison, both before and after. And it really gave me those values and ethics, which is funny because, of course, in his personal life, we all hear the stories. They're probably true. I don't know. I was 8 years old. But his professional life, and he treated the person behind the camera with the exact same respect as the talent.
Do you still get residuals? I know this is a really meaningless question, but do you still get residuals?
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, it's like a buck an episode at this point. But it was really nice for a long time. But thank God now I have a good job at Fox, so I don't
That's incredible. I mean, what an experience. I mean, it's an iconic show. Was Nelly still on the show when you were what was her name?
Nelly?
She was gone.
Yeah, Allison Ingram.
Yeah.
Yeah, she popped in for guest appearances. I saw her. I know her now because she's out on she's doing stand-up, which I think is the hardest thing in the world.
Yeah.
I mean, that's another thing. I saw Melissa Gilbert not too long ago, and she said, you know, it's interesting. None of the kids from Little House ended up robbing a dry cleaner.
That's a good point. They all ended up doing well.
And I think that was Michael. You know, he set that example.
That's interesting.
Of really hard work. And it was clear. He called me one take Missy because I could show up and hit the mark and do my lines on the first take.
That's
and
cool.
And it saved him money. He loved it. It saved him money. And I just learned so much. But then he was generous. You know, I mean, we'd be sitting there at lunch and he would whip off his big hat and a tarantula came walking down the front of his face that he had picked up off the filthy, dirty Simi Valley floor and put under his hat just to make us all scream at lunchtime. You know, he kept us engaged and entertained. But when the cameras rolled, he got dead serious and so did everybody else. And, you know, he rewarded people with years of steady work in a business where you never had that. So everybody was so appreciative. I mean, it really taught me, I mean, now in my life, how to lead and be talent and stuff, because you have to work as a group. Everyone's important.
Lessons from the Prairie, Melissa Francis. This is our featured selection on LauraIngram.com, also on Facebook. Melissa, thank you so much for stopping by. You're great. We love watching you on Fox. Fox Business is killing it, by the way. Doing so well, and we just love having you on. Come back anytime. We'll talk the market and everything else. Hoping for no crash, by the way. We don't want any crashes.
Absolutely.
So can you do something about that, Melissa? Please.
Absolutely. And I remember on election day in the morning, you predicted Donald Trump would win. We were in the makeup room, and you said he won it.
Thank you.
Yeah,
for someone remembering. I appreciate that. Melissa Francis, thank you so much from Fox Business. Lessons from the Prairie. President Trump is speaking. Don't go away.
The Laura Ingram Show.